This is the part where I always exit stage left, and we have somebody come up here and they read from the book of Revelation. But you know, I was thinking, okay, you know, Easter Sunday, let's see, bowls of wrath, I don't know. That's not your typical, so we're going to dispense with our study in Revelation. If that really upsets you, we'll just pick it up next week. It's no big deal. Everything will be fine. But instead of that, we're going to be in John chapter 11, okay? In John chapter 11. I know Matt prayed. Let's pray again, just because why not? Father, as we look into your word, anoint my lips, anoint all of our ears and our hearts. We want to receive what you have for us here this morning. On this glorious day when our Lord and Savior showed us his ultimate victory over hell and death and the grave and rose again. And Lord, it's good that all these people have come this morning. And that we're very excited, Lord, to hear what you have to say to us. Bless this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 11. You know the story, most of you. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his hair with her feet, whose brother Lazarus was sick. This is the Mary. It was very costly. It was about a year's salary. Judas was disgusted. He was like, what's going on here anyway? As she lavishly worshiped Jesus Christ. We don't ever spare any expense in worship. Money well spent, if you ask me. If you ask Jesus, he thought as much too. He didn't agree with... I got to say it. You know, we do worship, and some people are, what's that all that about? We had a guy here, and he's not here anymore. What is that hand stuff? People raising a hand. I'm not comfortable with that. So he's like, okay, he's gone. Like, just that easy. I'm like, okay. Everyone calm down in your worship. I mean, we're not running up and down the aisles swinging from chandeliers. You notice we don't have any chandeliers, and that's for a reason, too. I mean, we're excited about Jesus. He's awesome. And you get a little worked up. Well, that's fair enough. That'll make you a bad guy. Not in our world. Like I say, when you worship Jesus Christ, spare no expense. Pour out your heart like a songbird. Look at what she did. Now, there's also everyone tries to make all the... This happened more than once in the life and ministry of Jesus. And everyone tries to make all of them the same. FYI, it's not. But this is that Mary, okay? She anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, and that's whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent on him, saying, Lord, behold him whom thou lovest is sick. When you're sick, isn't it a good thing to know that Jesus loves you? I mean, it's a good thing. No, I'm comforted by that fact. And so I'm thinking like, oh, Lord, why am I sick? You know, you aren't on the throne anymore. What's going on here? No. Remain calm. Deep breaths. He's in control, and you're sick. And he loves you. He's not getting you. You know, I want you to understand something. He's not getting you. He got Jesus on the cross on your behalf. He's not getting you. Now, sometimes we're sick because we do dumb things, you know. Where, you know, you have to go extramarital and stuff like that. You may get sick permanently. You may die prematurely. That God getting you, it's just a natural flow of things. Sin still has the death principle worked into it, right? Don't blame God. He's not getting you. And if you get a sickness that you didn't bring about by something extramarital, I mean, you just get a cold and turns into pneumonia and then you die. It's like, oh, what happened? God, what's going on? No, he loves you. His sisters sent and said, hey, you know, he's sick and you love him and what's going on and how does this work and what's, and I mean, this, he doesn't have the sniffles because, I mean, they're worried, obviously, because he's facing death, so they send for Jesus. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. This sickness isn't going to result in death. Well, he's saying Jesus didn't know what he was talking about because it did. No, ultimately, when all the dust settles, he's not going to be dead, okay? But I think all sicknesses don't result in death. You say, well, some do. That's only a temporary condition. If you will turn with me to Revelation, because we were just there, okay? I mean, I'm not going to teach in Revelation, but I just want to make a point, okay? Revelation chapter 15, verse 2, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. Now listen very carefully. The Holy Spirit of God wants us to know this. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Listen, it's worship time. They're in heaven. You're saying, yeah, but they died. And they died horribly under the Antichrist, Satan. He's having victory. He's chopping heads and people are going to heaven. Listen, you gotta understand this. They have the victory. And that's what the Holy Spirit of God wants us to know. You say, the victory? Yeah, by dying. Really? Yeah. Listen, the beast is setting up a shuttle service to heaven. And people are dying and going to heaven, where they'll be resurrected. I think all sickness is unto death. Okay, this was my way of looking at it. And Jesus says, listen, when all the dust settles, he's not going to be dead. This is for the glory of God. Sometimes sickness is for the glory of God, and all resurrection is for the glory of God. I want you to understand that. Okay, all resurrection is for the glory of God. And sometimes people die, and you wringing your hands, oh, I know too much to do that. Listen, I was with my mother-in-law when she died, and it was really, really sad because I loved her a whole lot. And it was... how sad? Oh, this much sad. Say, that's not so sad. I was very sad. It's about as sad as I get. Because I know too much. She was in a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, and she stopped being in pain, and she went home to be with Jesus. What's the downside of that? So I was like, oh, yay. Praise you, Lord. I mean, I was like sad for about like a nanosecond. And I got thinking about like, she just went home. It's like, and then she's headed for a resurrection pretty soon, a week from Tuesday maybe. I don't know. I don't want to set dates, but pretty close. She's headed for a resurrection. And it's going to glorify God. Like your resurrection, like all resurrections. So Lazarus headed for a resurrection. It's going to glorify God. That's what Jesus says. It's but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He has to do this because you have to know something about the Son of God. You have to know something about me. So that's why this whole thing is happening. Why do things happen in your life? There's something you have to know about Jesus. Why does he take us through the valley of the shadow of death? Because he's the lily of the valley. This is the only way you'll meet him and when you go through that valley. Sometimes you have to be in a situation that's really tough and you understand that, wow, my God, he's a real tough guy. I'm in desperate straits and he shows up at desperate times. Now, Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. So now he loves them all. Okay, he's not a God who plays favorites. I like that about him. He's no respecter of persons. I like that about him. You're his favorite? I'm his favorite, just as favorite as you are. He loves Martha, he loves Mary, he loves Lazarus. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Okay, so he hangs out there 2 more days. Now, what is that? Okay, listen, hurry up. He's getting sick. He's dying. Hurry up and come here. But Jesus is like, you know, okay, I'm going to hang out here a couple more days, you know. Just hanging out and just kind of. He wants him to be very dead. It's really. Yeah. He doesn't want anyone to think like, well, if they invented the paddles, ching, they would have brought him back, and he was just bored of it, and he went brain dead. He was only just kind of like, this is like a resuscitation. No, he's dead. When he gets there, he's dead, and there's no questions about his dead, you know. So he hangs around for a couple more days. Listen, you cry out to Jesus, and you say, you know, help me, I'm in a dire straits. Listen, something you should understand about God. He just doesn't, he's not late, and he's never early. He's a Calvary Chapel people, you know. We got like 2 minutes of and there's like nobody here. And we're thinking like, oh, we're just going to have service with 2 people. And then everyone's like right in here. That's like, I don't know, maybe that's very godly. I don't know. He's using up all your, he wants you to have faith. He wants you to have it to the nth degree, to the last second. He's not in a rush. You can't move him faster than he wants to go. But he's never late. Say, this time he's late. He's not. He's in control. Even when somebody stops breathing, takes their last breath, I got to tell you something about Jesus Christ. He's totally in control. And you have to know that. It's very, very important that you know that, because this is going to happen in your life if it hasn't happened already. And your faith will see you through this. Your knowledge of the verses like this will see you through this episode. So you abide still more two more days in the same place. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Okay, let's go. It's time to go. Now, they just tried to stone him last time. You see, we're jumping in the middle here. If you know the whole story, they pick up stones, they try to stone him. You remember that whole thing about, you're all demonic and stuff. And he goes, they're all like, well, at least we know who our dad is. Your dad, let me tell you about your dad. Your dad is the devil. And this is really a heated exchange. They show up, they take up stones to stone him with, because he says, before Abraham was, I am. Now you're saying somebody said that, I don't think I'd try to stone him. But they get it. What he's saying is, I'm divine. This man you see before you now, I am deity. I am incarnate deity. I'm God. I left heaven, I put on flesh, and I'm dwelling among you. That's what you have to know. Before Abraham was, listen, I am. That's the name that came from the burning bush. He's making a claim of divinity on himself. Of course they took up stones to stone him. Either he's one, God in flesh, or two, he's a blasphemer. And by the way, you have to determine which. I have set my mind on he is glory incarnate. He is God. He is deity in the flesh. That's what you have to know about Jesus Christ, okay? That's one of those Calvary distinctives you'll learn about, okay? Non-negotiable. We don't debate that. You don't think Jesus is divine. You're not a Calvary Chapel pastor. That's all there is to it. And by the way, you're a heretic. And just while we're on the subject, you're definitely going to hell. I mean, if you choose the option, he's a blasphemer, that's hell, and I'll show you why in today's text. Let's go to Judea again. Excuse me, his disciples saying to him, and what's the arguing with Jesus? What's that all about? Anyone want an argument with Jesus yet? Master, excuse me, sir. Somebody raising their hand. Andrew, Thomas, was it Peter, is it James? Who knows? Lord, now, maybe you didn't remember. Let me just jog your memory a little bit. Like, Jesus is going to be like, oh, thanks. Yeah, I forgot all about that. Thanks. But we do the same thing. We're praying and we're like telling God stuff and he doesn't know it. But if we give him and clue him in, he'll figure out, oh, I have to do this then, right? How silly is this? How silly is this? Look at what they say. His disciples say to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Now, you've read Jesus' answer in the past. Is it very cryptic? Hey, there's 12 hours in a day. Oh, yeah, I guess we should go to Judea then. Yeah, 12 hours. What? Look at, there's 12 hours in the day. If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Now, Jesus had already said he's the light of the world. He said, listen, you ever hear that old saying, a man's work is sun to sun. The rest of it's, but a woman's work is never done. Well, let's put that part aside for now, right? We don't need they invent electric lights for a reason, right? But a man's work, and in an agricultural society, when you get up in the morning, you get up with the roosters and stuff, and you plant, and you plow, and you mend fences, and you do all the stuff that you have to do, right? And then it gets dark, and you go home and have your supper. That's the way it worked. I mean, back in this time. Jesus is kind of alluding to that here. He's saying, listen, there's 12 hours in a day, isn't there? Walk in the light. Don't be stumbling around the night. But he'd already said, I'm the light of the world. I know some of you are saying, I really want to know Jesus' will for my life. Listen, I'm going to tell you it right here, right now. Stick very close to Jesus. He's the light of the world. He will show you. He will guide you. Here's the thing. Lord, give me a direction for my life. He's stay so super close to Jesus. I'm going there anyway. I'm not going to point. I'm going to take. You're going with. You stay close to me, you'll always be in the light. You'll always be doing what I want you to do. You'll never be stumbling around in darkness. This is what he's saying. Is it time to go to Judea? Lord, should I go to Judea or not? Stick with me. Oh, by the way, I'm going to Judea. Oh, okay, I'm on board. Figure this out. Jesus says, the Bible says, you draw it close to God, he'll draw close to you. I mean, this is very, very important. Again, he's no respecter of persons. The reason we're stumbling around the dark very often, come on, be honest. We're not sticking close to Jesus. Listen, you remember that David, he's in the cave and he's like, oh, that I would have a cup of water at that well in the mouth of the town of Bethlehem, right behind the gate is that well, and oh, wouldn't that be wonderful to have a... Who heard that? The guys were closest to him. Now, David's a picture of his greater son, Jesus, right? And so those guys, they break through the garrison of the Philistines, and they get that water, and they bring it to David. You remember? It says, hey, we honor you. You're our king. You know, our life, ain't nothing but a thing. You wish. It's our command. That's how you want to be with Jesus. And who's the people who know that? Who's the people right next to David? I have an idea, these guys who broke through. These are the guys who are like if David's walking and he stops short, they're going to just like plow into the back of him. You know what I mean? They're right around David all the time. They can hear the size of his heart. They can hear, like when David said, because I'm sure he did an announcement, guys. I would like a drink of water from Bethlehem. Can I get a couple guys? Come on, how about a couple guys? Not a go, breakthrough. No, he didn't, because he was appalled when they did that, because he's not Jesus, right? And when somebody's compared to Jesus, at some point that comparison always breaks down. He's not Jesus. He took that water and he poured it out to the Lord. He said, oh, heaven forbid that I should drink the blood of these men. They risked their lives. But the guys who were on board with what David wanted were the guys who were right tight, right around David. Listen, be that way with Jesus. Be so close to him, you hear the size of his heart. Does Jesus sigh? Only all the time. You ever watched the news? You go like that. I know you do, because I do too. You go like this. You know what that is? That's reflecting a God who's going like, it's not supposed to be this way. I didn't set it up this way. Something went horribly wrong. Our fault, not his. Look, there's 12 hours in a day. Stick with me. You'll go places, and you won't be stumbling, bumbling, tripping around in the dark. Not a good place for a Christian. Many of us are there very often. I would say to you, get very, very close to Jesus. Sin in the way, get rid of it. Just repent. Easy capeasy. Lord, I repent. I renounce. I don't want any part of that anymore. And then you pray in the Spirit of God, deliver me from that. Deliver me from that. Those desires. These things said he that, after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of his sleep. He's asleep, and we got to go wake him up. It's always a euphemism for death. He said the same thing about Jairus' daughter. She's only asleep. Why? Because she's getting up again. Listen, I was with my mom, my mother-in-law, when she passed away. She's only sleeping. I'm going to tell you that right now. That loved one that you buried, you're very, very, very sad about. They're just sleeping. They're getting up again. I absolutely guarantee it. As we'll see, if I ever get there, I got to get moving. But listen, he's just asleep. He's just asleep. They're thinking like, look, if they're all panic about going back to Judea, and they're all thinking about in terms of like, I really don't want to be stoned, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. You'll see anything. You know what this is all about? They should know better. But they're looking at any port in a storm. They don't want to go back to Judea. He's asleep. He'll be, it's good. A little chicken soup. He'll be back on his feet in no time. It's good. It's all good. We don't need to go to Judea to hold his hand while he's sleeping. How come they didn't know better than that? You generally believe what you want to believe. You generally... There's a Philadelphia lawyer inside of us that just makes wrong right. And the emotion is much stronger than the intellect. You got to love God with your whole heart and your mind and your soul and your strength, but you got to get your heart involved in the process at some point, because the heart will make a convert of the mind. Their heart isn't in this. he's in big rocks. It's going to leave a mark. He's asleep. He's fine. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he should do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep, because that's what they wanted to think. in my thinking. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Okay, no more euphemisms. Let me just say it right plainly so you get it. He's dead. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. That's why I bowed two more days. Hey, I'm glad I wasn't there. To the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let's go unto him. Come on, let's go. Now, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also that we may die with him. I like Thomas. Hey, listen, we're going to die, we're going to die. Well, let's be with Jesus. I like that. Now, show a little faith in Jesus, by the way, but all that, you know, Thomas, his name, he's also called Didymus. What's Didymus? It means twin. Is he half of a twins? Yeah, I think so. I think so. He's twin all by himself. Because here he's like, hey, we want to die with him, that's fine. Later on he's like, I ain't believing this resurrection stuff after he's already seen this chapter. Unless I'm going to put my finger in his wounds, I want to check out the prints in his nail prints in his hand, I want to put my hand in the side where the spear went in, then I'll believe. We say doubting Thomas. Well, Thomas is, I like him. He's probably like what you see is what you get kind of guy. He's like everything's right close to the surface. I like that about him. That's good. Here he's all like, you know, hey, okay, Lord, if you're dead set on destroying yourself and us too, okay, count us in. We're on board. But that's a lot of faith. I like that. In for a penny, in for a pound. Because there's a lot of fair weather Christians running around. I don't like where this is taking me, Lord. You know, I was on board. I was all excited. I had my sparkle lit. And now my friend's laughing at me. I don't think I'll be a Christian anymore. Really? I mean, really? 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 He's willing to, he thinks he's going to die. And he's like, he's okay with that. Oy vey, we die, we die. When Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. I'll tell you a little about 4 days' death. Your organs are jelly. Your blood has separated. The serum and the everything on the bottom, it's like that's what your bottom half where you lay down. It's all like they drain off the blood now, just in case you're wondering. But in the old days when they didn't, you know, like at this time, he'd be all black and blue on the bottom. And his top half would be like kind of yellowy. His eyes will have dissolved, sunken away into nothing, okay? There's no, we get the paddles on him, cha-ching. He's not going to like, oh, sit up and like, okay, whew, I was close. No, it's too late for penicillin. He's room temperature, okay? He's pushing up daisies. He's worm chow. He's bought the farm. He is 6 feet under, well, figuratively. He's not coming back, all right? And whatever euphemism you use for dirt nap, whatever one you use for death, this is him, okay? He's 4 days dead. Now, Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, what you got to understand is that is correct. That's true. Pointed out to the Lord, like, hey, you should have got here sooner. If Jesus had been there and he didn't want him to die, he wouldn't be dead. But Jesus doesn't have to be right in your vicinity, and he is right in your vicinity. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. Here on earth, he laid aside the prerogatives of his deity, one of them being omnipresent. But he's not like Jesus going, I'm sorry, I wasn't. Listen, because you're thinking the same thing. Lord, if you would only, on your prayer that didn't get answered. Lord, if you would only, he's like, I'm outside of time. That don't mean nothing to me. I turn clocks back. If I'd only been here, I'm here now. If I've only been here. Because you're thinking, we're so like, think in terms of like this happens and this happens and this happens and this happens. We have a God outside of time altogether. The thing that's going to happen to us, he already knows about that. The thing that already happened, he knows about that. And he's able to cure both. He can cure things that already happened. Well, just look. If my brother had been here, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. But I know even now, whatsoever thou ask of God, God will give it thee. What is this? Is she hinting at you can even bring him back even from the grave? I mean, what does this say to you? It says to me, that's what she's saying. Otherwise, what does that mean? It's got to mean something. I think she's saying, Lord, even now you can work in a situation. You can turn back the hands of the clock. You can make the world spin in the opposite direction. You could patch them up. You could, I don't know what she knows, you know, but I think it's something. And she has faith in Jesus, evidently and obviously. She said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Even now, Lord, I know you can, your brother will rise again. Now she wants to, what do you mean? What are you getting at here? Because she wants to, like you do, like I do. What are you saying, Lord? Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. Is that correct? Yep. Trumpet blast away from resurrection. Okay. Voice of the archangel, trump of God. Dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Some really, really dumb theologian from yesteryear named that the rapture. I've always hated that term. Why? Well, you know, Chuck Missler, he's famous for this, and I love Chuck Missler. He's saying, well, people say rapture's in the Bible. It's there in the Latin. I'm thinking, like, the Bible isn't written in Latin, and I don't read Latin. It's not there. Who came up with that awful title? And we talk it to people. We talk to Christians who say, I don't think I believe in the rapture, flying people. What's that all about? Does she believe in the resurrection? Oh, of course. All Christians believe in the resurrection. That's it. We have dead people in Christ rising. I don't know what you call that. I call that resurrection. Then we who are alive and remain. See, we're not all going to die. We're not all going to sleep, it says in 1 Corinthians. Some of us are going to be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. We can go to 1 Corinthians and look at that. I'm kind of guessing most of you know that already. That's resurrection. Yeah, it's going to happen. You're correct in your doctrine there, Martha. He's going to resurrect in the last day. But this is what you have to know about this. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Now listen, this is one of those game changers. This is one of them where all the rules change. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and life. You know, people say all the time, you know, little religions are not a bad thing. Who's talking about that? Why'd you change the topic? You know, all religions are the same. Basically, they're, you know, teaching people how to be good people. Listen, what are you talking about? Yeah, they all are the same. You follow any one of them, you're going to go to hell. Every one of them. Religion equals hell. Any questions? How I feel about that? Jesus said this, I'm the resurrection. Buddha's not the resurrection. Allah isn't the resurrection. Muhammad isn't the resurrection. Vague spirituality isn't the resurrection. Being a spiritual person, that's not the resurrection. Recycling, that's not the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I and me alone, there's no one else. I am exclusively the resurrection. I know he's going to resurrect on the last day. I'm the resurrection. Now, this is kind of a little bit of a game changer. Why are we so excited today? Why are we so celebrating? Listen, we worship the correct God, the one who rises from the dead. Now, some of you aren't really excited about it. You say, okay, good, good. Someday, when I die, I'll resurrect. Cool, I guess. What about here? What about now? Let's look at the first part of that. Someday, when you die, you're going to rise from the dead. Or you're going to skip that phase altogether, as we already looked at in our minds in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You can look at that at your own leisure. What about now? Oh, he's still the resurrection. He knows everything you need to know about resurrection. He can write the book Resurrection, Idiot's Guide to Resurrection. Resurrection for Dummies. Is this important? It's very, very important if you need resurrection. What about that marriage gone south? Too late. Too late to bring that one back. It's too late for penicillin. Jesus says, really? 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 Excuse me, I know a little bit something about resurrection. I know just a little bit something about resurrection. No, it's not. It's not too late. Can I just tinker with this a little bit and see if I can't? Because he definitely can. What's that relationship? If I could only turn back the hands of time, if I could only just rewind and not say the bitter, cruel things I said. Really? In other words, you're saying, Lord, if you'd only been here. Listen, I'm the resurrection. I can bring back that prodigal. I can change. I don't care where you've taken this to. None of that stuff matters to me. Well, it's dead, Lord. It's dead. You understand? It's dead. We've already signed the divorce paper. We've already walked away. It's not dead until I say it's dead, Jesus says. And I don't know anything about death. I only know resurrection. I'm the resurrection, and I'm the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And with that, everything's resurrected. Everything. Listen, if any man's Christ, is a new creation. Isn't that resurrection? I was dead in trespasses and sins. Now I'm not. Isn't that resurrection? He resurrects everything. Nothing's permanently broken. Nothing's beyond his repair. He's just, you know, we're so addicted to this around here. We love seeing his redemptive work. We love seeing, bring you're broken, he'll fix it. Bring your stuff that's moving sideways, he'll put it back together. He's the resurrection. He's awesome. He's Jesus. He's incredible. We get a little bit worked up about that. So I do. I don't know. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now the trick is being in him, because there's people who are outside of him. And I have to talk about this. It's Resurrection Sunday, and I have to say this. Everyone's resurrected. The second resurrection, the resurrection of the damned, we get back in our study in Revelation, we'll go there. It's chapter 20. I don't have to deal with that now. You're not going to end up in a good place. Okay? There's resurrection in Christ to eternal life. Yay! With harps, and we're all song, and we're all like happy and merry, you know, on the sea of glass, resurrection. And then there's like, and then we come back to earth with him later on. I'm going to show you the whole plan, okay? And we live and reign with him 1,000 years in these indestructible bodies that all are good looking and young and don't have any, you know, you don't forget stuff all the time, and they're not full of arthritis and bad joints and things that don't work that used to work, and, you know, my memory comes back, it'll be good. And No. He infuses, gives us new everything. And outside of Christ, not so good. I'm the resurrection of life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said to him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. That's the right answer, by the way. She is an A in Christology. And when she had so said, and went her way, and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. Now, he's doing a work in the lives of both sisters, because we already understand that he loves both of them, right? And he's doing a work in the life of his, because he's very economical, he's doing the work in the life of his disciples, who he says, I'm glad that I wasn't there, because you're going to see some stuff happening now. And he's doing a work in your life, and he's doing a work in my life. I'm learning some things that I'd never know outside this chapter. One, he's so totally awesome, but let's keep moving, okay? So as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and when she had so said, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master's come, call for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come to the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Jesus, the Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth to the grave to weep there. Their weeping was very external, very loud, very outward. It was all show and bluster. And then they think, oh yeah, she's going to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Every time Mary's involved with Jesus, Jesus' feet are involved. It's interesting to me. No, seriously. Interesting to me. She knows her place. I have an idea that's how it's going to be. I don't. Listen. I don't bow to men or women. I don't bow. I think that's a horrible. I remember a picture I saw on MSN or something like that on the web. Our president bowing to some sheikh or some emir somewhere, and I was so disgusted. I thought, like, you're president of the United States. You'd be bowing like some shoeshine boy. Men, listen. Women, listen. We don't bow. We do not. See, that's really arrogant. No, not at all. Not at all. We readily bow the knee to God, to Jesus Christ. I think your knees are exclusively for bowing to Jesus Christ. Again, the only caveat I'll give, you're talking to somebody who's in a wheelchair, you can get down to their level, you can take a knee. That's, I don't think God's offended by that, or you're not challenging his authority. The same thing when you're dealing with little people. You get down to their eye level, that's all right. I always say this, men, when you're at proposing marriage, place of a supplicant is to be on one knee. You're trying to talk to that lady why this horrific, terrible idea is a good idea. Take the place of a supplicant. That's fine. I don't think God's really stressed out about that. But bowing to a man? Cow and pigs fly. But God? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I talk to some people and say, yeah, when I'm up there, I'm going to give him peace of my mind. And I'm gonna, you can't afford it, and you won't. You will not. I'm telling you right now, you're going to have a face-to-feet interview with Jesus Christ. You are going to look for a piece of ground to occupy with your face as low as you can get. Of course you're going to be at his feet. That's, and by the way, amen. Amen. I'm totally good with that. And we see Mary. Mary, you know what? Her heart is toward Jesus. She's a worshiper. And worshipers, I think they're like better theologians than a lot of us all the time. They get it. They understand a lot about Jesus that us people don't really get into worship, don't understand about him. She fell down at her feet. And he doesn't say, get up, I'm just a man. No, she's like totally good. And he understands that. And he's good with that. Who else would you worship? Who else would you fall down at his feet? And she has that same sad refrain, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. I'm telling you, Jesus sighs. He sighs on earth, he sighs now. He groaned, what does that look like? Groaned in the spirit and was troubled. It looks like this. He sees Mary. She's decimated. He loves Mary. His heart is toward her, and she's weeping. She's in pain. She's in agony. And by the way, I understand that about death. All these things I'm saying, I've been around people when they got the news that somebody's died, and very often they get this vitriol poured out at God. It's true. You've been around that. Maybe you've done that. Oh, this is a horrible God. I can't believe you took Uncle Elmer and whatever it is. I get it. God gets it. He's got broad shoulders. I think that poison just comes out. I don't think he's really so stressed out like, I can't believe you said that. You go to hell. Nothing like that. He's you know what I mean? He's all right. That toxins, that we're not wired for death. We just deal with it best we know how. When God created us, nobody was supposed to die or anything. And death is, every time it comes, it's like a strange visitor, like we don't know what to do with. I get that. God gets that. Jesus sees that and he's troubled. He says, where have you laid him? He's groaning in the spirit, he's troubled. Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Some of you know, it's the shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35, Jesus wept. You do some memory work, start there, okay? It'll be an easy one. You'll have at least one verse on your belt. Jesus wept. Why is he weeping? He knows what's going to happen. Why is he weeping? Why is he weeping? Doesn't he know the end of the story? Hasn't Jesus read the chapter? When he's right, doesn't he know what's going to happen? Why is he weeping? Because for all the Marthas and all the Marys and all the Lazaruses and all the, he understands. He when he put us together, we were going to be like forever alive and like we're not now. And there's so much trouble and so much, and he understands. He's not, listen, as the writer of Hebrews puts it, he's not a high priest that can't be touched by the feelings of our infirmity. He saves our tears in a bottle. He knows what we're going through. He's not indifferent. He's not, Yeah, I hope you make it through. He's not a distant, way out there kind of God. He's a way handy, personal, I love you with my whole heart kind of God. How much you love me? Enough to die for you. I'm really into your life. I'm really into you. I'm all about you. My thoughts for you are more than the sand that is by the seashore. I'm obsessed with you. I think about you morning, noon, and night. I love you. I care about you. I'm not indifferent. I know what's going on. And we weep, and he weeps. He gets it. He totally understands what it is to be human. He totally understands what it is to lose somebody you love. He knows that. He knows that we're sad. He knows that we're like, he remembers our frame, that we're but dust, the psalmist says. I'm so glad that about that. This verse, Jesus wept, so much helps me. He's awesome in every way that a God could be awesome. I don't see Allah weeping at all, but all right. That's story for another time. And said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused this man that he shouldn't die? Nobody gets it with Jesus. Nobody understands, like, nothing's gone off the tracks. Nothing's out of bounds. Nothing. They all think in terms of time, like, oh, it's too late. He's not late. He stayed in the place two more days. He's not late. He's everything's going right exactly like he wants to, but people don't understand that. We have to understand that. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. This is a typical Jewish burial. This is the way Jesus was buried. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Okay? Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. You can't make this stuff up, boy. This is great. And King James shines there. It just does, you know. And she's unglued, like, whoa, 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 no, 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 no. He's my brother. I love him. Let's keep the stone in place, you know. Good Jewish girl here. We don't want to. Jesus said to her, Didn't I tell you? Listen, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Remember, he said to his disciples, this sickness is under death. It's under the glory of God. Everything's about his glory. His saving you is about his glory. His resurrecting you is about his glory. His victory over Satan, sin, death, hell, and the grave for his glory. I told you to see the glory of God, didn't I? And took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. What kind of prayer is that? Verse 42 kind. And I know that you hear me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus says to God, Lord, I thank you for hearing me. I know you hear me. These don't, but what's about to happen is very important that they understand that we're on the same page about this, that you're hearing me. You don't know that. You don't always know that God hears you. You have to. Scripturally, you have to. But sometimes, like, you think, oh, again, he's indifferent. I have to talk him into something. I have to twist his arm. I have to promise him. I have to bargain. I have to, Lord, if you'll do this for me, I'll, don't finish the rest of that sentence. Lord, you're my heavenly Father. You love me. I need victory over this sin in my life. I need patience in this situation. Give us this day our daily bread. He knows you need bread. Lord, I need a place to live. He knows all that stuff. He's your loving heavenly Father. He hears you always. Again, remember his obsession with you? He's thinking about you all the time, more than the sand, crystals, little grains of sand by the seashore, that many thoughts about you. And in that, all those thoughts, one of those thoughts would be, yeah, I know you need clothes. I know you need food. I'm your dad. Got it. Lord, I'm saying this out loud in such and such a way that everyone will understand that you're a God who hears and answers prayer. I want them to believe that you sent me. When he thus spoke, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. when the resurrection happens, I think what I'm going to hear is, Adam, come up here. That's what I think. And you won't hear that. You'll hear, insert your name here. You say, how can he do that? No, everyone's name all at once? Listen, he's God, okay? He's totally capable of. I think that's what you'll hear. Here he says Lazarus. He calls him by name. He knows his name. If he just said come forth, I mean, there'd be tombs opening everywhere, all over the whole world. I mean, I think he just has to limit it just to Lazarus, come forth. What happened then? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, no, listen. This is very important. Jesus prays. It happens. You have to know this. He's at the right hand of God making intercession for us. You think he's praying stuff and it's not getting, God's like, nah, I don't think so. Maybe not. We'll see. I'll put that on back burner. I'll get around it, maybe. Really? You don't think Jesus and God are on like the same page, like a hotline, like one finishes the other one's sentences, like they don't even have to communicate on a verbal level. I mean, don't you think so about God? Jesus prays and it happens, of course. And the reason I'm telling you this is because he's praying for us now. We have to know that. I mean, you have to know that. Is Jesus' prayers getting answered? Oh, I think so. I got all kinds of them happening in my life all the time. I'm a praying guy. I need prayer. You say, I don't pray very much. Well, then pray for me. I need prayer. You know, I'm just saying. But here it is. He that was dead came forth. I don't know. This should be like big letters like this big on a page or like when I'm scrolling things like on your computer screen when I'm scrolling. And he that, it's just, I know it's just black and white. He that was dead came forth. You know how big this is? This never happened before. He ain't got no organs left. He ain't got no eyes left. His blood's all, and you think, come on, he's all like zombified, like all like, you know, his flesh is like hanging off as he's all looking for brains to eat and stuff like that. Because when Hollywood does resurrection, they don't make it very pretty. When Jesus does resurrection, I bet he's got a healthy glow about him, nice tan, he's all lean and fit, and he comes out there, like, just like all ready to go. Like, oh, that was a good nap, I feel great, he's just all, you know what I mean? You think he's like, Jesus, I mean, he resurrected, he put them all back together. There's an act of creation involved here. He had to put all them organs back in place and everything. And he that was dead came forth. He's the resurrection. He that was dead came forth. What's dead in you? What's dead about you? What relationship? What situation? What? He's the resurrection. He that was dead came forth. I don't know what to say. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. It's the way they did. Hopping out of there, playing hopscotch. All, you know, he's like a three-legged race all by himself here. Comes hopping on out of there. His face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said to him the same thing he'd say unto you. Loose him and let him go. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You got with them grave clothes. What's sin? What's got you bound? What's got you all puckered up and all immobilized? What fear? What's the deal? I got news. Jesus has a message for you. Loose them. Let them go. I can so overcome whatever it is in your life, Jesus is saying. I don't care what kind of horrible situation you get yourself into. I can fix it. I'm the resurrection. This is what we understand from the story. Loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. I'd like to end there. I'm gonna end with verse 47. Many Jews who came to Mary had seen these things which Jesus did, believed on him. That's the reason it's here. I ain't end with 47. I'm going to end with the rest of this little bit here. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what shall we do? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. We can't have that. We can't have people believing in Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Religious people always stand against Jesus, don't they? Always. Where's your persecution coming from? My agnostic and atheist friends don't even give me a hard time. My religious friends always do. My religious family always does. If we let him alone, all men will believe in him. The Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. One of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest, the same year said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider what is expedient for us, that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. He did too. He didn't even know what he was doing. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth took counsel together for to put him to death. Man, we got to kill Jesus. How dare him raise people from the dead? See how extreme religion is? And these are the two things I'm setting before you now. The story sets for him. Many saw this and believed. How about you? Some people were all like all religious and they were all puckered up and they were all like, they ain't going to do things our way. Romans are going to come and they're going to take away our part and all this, and it's all about me. It's all about my... Listen, if you're all about you today, how's that going? It just can't be going well. Life just beats up selfish people. When you're all about Jesus and you're all about others, I'm telling you how it's going. It's going great. I know it for a fact. Matt, come. Let's bow our heads. Stand, bow our heads, and we'll pray, and we'll... Father, let's just stop by saying, your son is so awesome. Lord Jesus, you've done everything. You've given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. You've given us eternal life. You've made us new creations in you. You've done everything. And some of us here, Lord, we have some death situation, some marriage, some relationship, some financials, some something, Lord, that's gone awry, that's gone. But you're mindful of us, Lord. You weep when we weep. You love us. I mean, we learned a lot of things today. Lord, come minister to us and bring about the changes in our life that are going to glorify you. At the end of the day, it's not about us. It's about you and it's about your glory. And that's the way we want it to be. Lord, if any here haven't put their trust in this wonderful Savior, I pray, Lord, in the privacy of their own heart today, they will... Many saw what Jesus did and they believed on him. May that happen here this morning, Lord. And for those of us who already know you and love you, can we just take that next step, that closer, that more personal? And Lord, for those who know you but are distant, I pray that real repentance would happen here this morning. Whatever happens here, Lord, may it be to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.